Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 62 coming your way. This is a part two episode, Windstroll 2024 with Paraforma. Now, part one was episode 61. You can go check that one out. And that one, we talk about Anavar 2024. So that's a really good one, too. So let's check out this podcast. And look, in this podcast, we're going to get into several different things. We're going to get into the progression of Windstroll, how it was originally used in medicine when it came around. We're going to talk about the bodybuilding history. We're going to talk about how it has become a staple in competition cycles. We're going to show you how to use them, whether you're a normal Joe or if you're a professional bodybuilder who's new to competing, or if you're even experienced. We're going to show you how the experienced bodybuilders use it, and why they like to abuse Windstroll, and how it's really good. And then we're going to talk about more about Paraforma to finish the show and give you some extra tips on how you can best use Windstroll. So let's get right into it. And I have Mobster here with me. So let me start by explaining. I'll let Mobster come in as well. But let's talk about how Windstroll came about. So in the early 1960s, a company called Winthrop Labs, they had the product developed. And it was approved by the FDA originally for human use. Then over time, like many other anabolic steroids, it's no longer marketed in America for medicinal purposes. So it's been mostly discontinued. The medicinal reasons for using these anabolic steroids and Windstroll were wonderful at the time. I mean, it was a great concept, because it was, using hormones to benefit people in certain ways, whether it be muscle wasting, anemia, or other things. And one of the ways they developed it was by making it into a DHT derivative. So it did not aromatize into estrogen. So at the time, they thought, wow, this is a great idea. Instead of giving people testosterone, having it aromatize, we can give them something that's a hormone that doesn't aromatize. So it was good at the time, but, medicine has come a long way since. So they have a lot better things to give people for these types of conditions. So obviously, there was no reason to market Windstroll for medicine. So now it's used in the bodybuilding world. And now you have companies like Paraforma who are coming up with Windstroll to be used, as a performance-enhancing drug. So so Windstroll, I'll let Mobster jump in on this one. So the first time I used Windstroll, I got it. It was in a milk-like aqueous suspension. And basically, I would pop the amp open and I would drink it. It was basically a part of my breakfast, And that's how I originally used it. Some people like to inject it, and there's also the oral form. So Paraforma has you covered on those different things. But let me get into why this is. So you're able to successfully use Windstroll in that way by drinking it, the suspension, or taking it orally, because it is an esterified. So it's also 17 alpha alkylated. It can survive the first pass of liver metabolations when you take it. So this is why we see people online, people will complain about injecting Windstroll, and they'll be like, oh, it hurts to inject Windstroll. Yeah, because it's a suspension. But here's the thing, like, this is why people will say, just go ahead and drink it. So I tried to inject Windstroll once. It didn't end well for me. So I just always drank it back when I used to use it. Mobster?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Steve, that's exactly what I would do. I mean, it's going to make zero difference. It's pretty much available in both forms. And of course, I'm no fan of pinning, to say the least. So why would I want to pin it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Obviously, there might be specific reasons why you would do that, perhaps related to you doing competition, professional use, etc., like Steve's alluded to earlier on. So it makes absolutely no sense for me and for Steve in that situation for us to inject it. I mean, and again, here's another thing, Steve, when it comes to professional type cycles, and we will talk about cycles and dosing and so on and so forth. Pro level bodybuilders, amateur that want to become pros, etc., are, as Steve has described on many of his show, it's a form of chemical warfare. And what we mean by that is simply that sometimes the sheer volume of injections, the sheer masses of milligrams that you're doing, if you're doing peptides, if you're doing growth hormone, if you're using insulin, etc., you have to be, Steve, multiple pins per day. So if I'm doing a competition check and it happens to include Winstrol, I should be glad to take out one of those multiple pins per day. Literally, Steve, as you would know, I like almost after every meal, or certainly two or three meals a day when you're doing something to do with insulin and so on and so forth, following those kind of protocols. So if I could take one of those injections out, absolutely awesome, Steve. It makes no sense for me. I mean, and again, you can have it in oral form, you can have it in pill form. So I would probably just go in a pill form every single time, Steve. But that's me. Again, there might be specific reasons for a professional bodybuilder, especially in those last few weeks of competition prep, to do certain particular things and follow certain particular protocols. But for the general listener, for the general user, oral, either in injectable form or pill form, Steve, makes no sense otherwise. Back to you.
As I mentioned earlier, it is a DHT derivative, so it is incapable of aromatizing to estrogen. So it's as pure of a DHT as you're going to find. I mean, it and Winstrol, Masteron, which we'll discuss later as well. So another thing that it does, not only does it not aromatize into estrogen, but it also has anti-estrogen properties. So let's say you're running testosterone like 200 milligrams a week. You might need an AI at 200 milligrams a week. You'll definitely need an AI at 300 or 400 milligrams a week. Well, some people like to run Winstrol with the testosterone in that situation because it will actually help compete with those estrogen, you know, enzymes in the body. And lower the estrogen where you may not need an AI. So, but it's very, very important to remember Winstrol is not an AI itself, but it can help drop down that aromatization. So that's one of the properties that it has. And ironically, when they first started using it in medicine, that may have been actually a disadvantage for people because they'd use it and their estrogen would drop. And then they'd start having low estrogen symptoms. And they probably went back to the doctor like, oh, you know, I've got low estrogen symptoms. So and so it could have ended up backfiring. So it's just interesting the way Winstrol kind of has evolved over time. And that's why you see today, you know, it's just a great cutter. It's just a freaking good cutter, man. Ahead of a contest or a vacation or something. If you got 4 weeks before your beach vacation, you got 4 weeks until your competition. You're going to be on stage and in your panties in front of other people flexing, right? You want to look as dry as possible. So that's why Winstrol is a great, great option for this. Mobster?
Yeah, I mean, something that Steve's talked about in other shows, and I've agreed with this, the drying option, and Steve specifically refers to myself in this particular regards. I consider myself a strength athlete of some description, combination of powerlifting more now, Steve, than before. But specifically when I was competing, it was it for strength reasons in the grip stuff that I was doing. And then obviously over time, I've used PEDs to enable me to succeed at certain things and certain particular passions and targets in strength right now. The problem is, and I want to talk about the drawing action. So what works great for a bodybuilder in terms of drawing out your physique actually becomes a little bit of an issue, specifically if I was running it with very little of anything else, Steve, for my joints. So why it would have, of course, anabolic effects on my body, and you know, it doesn't help me, for example, if I'm competing in a weight division in strength, powerlifters have, and Olympic lifters, etc., will have weight divisions, and I needed to make weight. Strongman, same. Under 105 kilo, under 90 kilo, and so on and so forth. But you don't really want the dry joint issue, which is kind of where we're going to go with this conversation now. So even for bodybuilders, medium to high volume, when you get super, super lean, it's one of those things that very few people that are serious about training understand, Steve. It can be quite uncomfortable. It's a necessity. You need to look a certain particular way. Your physique needs to have a certain appearance when you're on stage. And it's not necessarily the most comfortable place. Thin-soled on your feet, your joints are aching, and so on and so forth. And I mean, there's literally been described as a crackling slash creaking type sensation around the joints. That's when you know you're truly dry. What I think happens, and this is purely theoretical on my part, is that the drawing out of fluid from underneath the skin also happens to pull fluid, moisture, from the synovial fluid, the joint lubrication, if you like, around your joints. So we're talking really here, shoulder joint, elbow joint, knee joint, ankle joint, and so on and so forth. And of course, these are the big movers when you're moving weight in the gym, whether you're a bodybuilder or a strength athlete. Now, for myself, as a specific targeting for strength now as I do, and I'm thinking just of the bench press as usual, Steve, because that's the big one right this particular minute as we do the show. I want my elbows to feel, I don't want to feel sore every time I go to the gym, never mind when I'm actually underneath the load. It's not going to be a comfortable place to be, Steve. So that's a particular issue. But like I say, I actually think there's an argument to be made in terms of the sufferance of a competing bodybuilder who wants to get in absolutely crazy, amazing shape, almost to take the dry joint thing almost as a plus. Only insofar as that they know that when they start to get that sensation, they are getting dry. When they start to get that sensation, they know that the windstroll they had is legit, the same sort of windstroll they're going to be getting from Parapharma. They want to know that I'm getting into that kind of condition because she is aching. I'm doing the work that I'm doing in the gym. I'm trying to keep myself as healthy as I possibly can, but stuff is starting to dry. I'm starting to get that crazy look. As we do this show, I think it's today would be 14 days to my local gym owner's next show, and he's starting to get that look. And trust me on that, he's perfectly fine at the minute, Steve, but in another few days, he'll be into that, oh my God, there's only 10 days to go and I'm struggling. And it's going to be that literal physical process of healthy any body fat, dry joints, sunken face, and so on and so forth. The sort of death face look that we sometimes have, skull starts to show its appearance. And that's when you know that someone getting into crazy, crazy kind of condition. I think we should address also, Steve, because we're talking about this video article that we're going to associate with this particular show, the issue of, and it's only an issue for athletes, not necessarily bodybuilders and strength athletes like myself, especially in untested events, but in tested events. So specifically bodybuilding and doping in sports, Steve. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. So before we get into that, let's touch a little bit about SHBG because it's also an important way that Winstrol was structured. And Winstrol is one of the best when it comes to sex hormone binding, globulin binding. And what that allows to happen is that you're able to use Winstrol. This is why Winstrol is usually stacked. You can use it solo, and we're going to get into how to dose it later in the show. But when you use Winstrol, it makes the other steroids in your stack run better. Why?
Yes.
Because it binds to that SHBG in your body, brings down their SHBG down. Now, sex hormone binding globulin, the way I've always explained it to people, this is so they understand how anabolic steroids benefits you. One of the ways that it benefits you with using anabolic steroids is it brings down that barrier of, you know, survival. There's survival mechanisms that we have, and one of them is SHBG, and that allows, by bringing down that SHBG, it breaks down that barrier, allows you to grow, and it allows you to put on muscle easier and put on strength easier, right?
Yes,
and Mobster,
yes.
As a strength athlete, is able to put on a lot of more strength when he's using steroids versus not using steroids. I'm able, you know, to put on more muscle, you know, when I'm on anabolic steroids versus not, but because of that. So Winstrol does that really well. And this is why it's an absolutely great idea. And this is what bodybuilders have realized over the years when it comes to Winstrol, is using Winstrol as part of a stack. And we'll talk about how to stack it, like I said, in a bit. But one of the best ways they like to do it, which we'll get into, is using it toward the end of a cycle. Once you're already using injectables and they're peaking in your system, then you throw in the Winstrol, and it makes those existing injectables work even better. Because what happens is when you run a 12-week cycle, and you guys know this, who have used steroids for years, your first half of the cycle, you make the bulk of your gains, then things kind of level off as things go by. It's not your imagination. a survival mechanism that's coming in. So when you add Winstrel toward the end of the cycle, now you're able to push things even further. Now you make the existing steroids that you're using better. So that's one of the reasons why in bodybuilding we've evolved. And now you see a lot of competitors, they'll use Winstrol, but they won't use it early in the cycle. They'll wait till the end. They'll throw it in at the end. They want to get that drying effect going into the contest. They want to get that extra effect. And that's one of the beauty parts of how we've seen Winstrol evolve. Go ahead, Monster.
Yeah, I was just thinking of one other thing, Steve. Bearing in mind your earlier comments in this particular section, I can't think of one, maybe one, out of 100 threads that we've had with people where they've used Winstrol, where Winstrol has been literally the only steroid they've used on that site. Almost certainly, as Steve said, in terms of the stack, and especially as Steve said again, I actually think I won't call it an advanced technique. I'll call it a technique that most people don't consider when what Steve's just talked about. Specifically, it would be perfectly acceptable to see, maybe if I said there was 100 threads on it, I would say 40 or 50 of those threads, Steve, they're running Winstrol as part of an overall stack, more or less from the start. But what actually makes a lot of sense, bearing in mind what Steve just talking about, is to do exactly something like that, especially if it was a longer 12-week cycle like Steve's described. And I think the phrase that struck me when you were saying it, Steve, was not leaving a gain on the table. For example, as Steve said, let's imagine that the person's going to, in the first 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even the first 8 weeks, gain 6 or 7 pounds. After that, as Steve quite correctly points out, the gains tend to slow down. That's just perfectly normal. And again, you're having to force the body to do things. You have to force it to get it stronger. You have to force it to add on muscle. And you even have to force it to a lesser degree to retain that muscle after the cycle. The body wants to be what it was before, homeostasis. If I weigh 100 pounds, you can't just make me go to 120 pounds. Motherfucker, it's going to have to be 105 pounds and 110 pounds. So the idea that you introduce Winstrol towards the end and gain another 1, 2, 3 pounds. That doesn't sound like a massive amount. It's not sexy when we say 7 pounds, 9 pounds, 10 pounds. But realistically, Steve, as you well know, the average person with no steroids, et cetera, is only gaining 3 or 4 pounds a year. That's year on year, eating your protein, going to the gym, and so on and so forth. You are doubling that just with one simple cycle, 4, 5, 6 pounds instead of 2, 3, 4 pounds, and so on and so forth. So if you can get another 1 or 2 pounds out of something like that, and especially if you do slightly shorter cycles and do a couple of cycles a year, you could easily, especially the early part of training and using PEDs, look at somewhere between 6 and 9 pounds. And then when you start to get a year on year, Steve, then it starts to feel really interesting. And that's more for the recreational lifter, never mind a competing athlete and so on and so forth. So to me, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you sort of said it the particular way that you did say it, because that is, I think, actually something that lifters that are listening to this and talking about and thinking about running Winstrol in part of the next act should consider. Don't just go, I'm going to run Winstrol bang day one. No, do exactly what Steve says. Manipulate the variables in the gym. Same thing with regards to your nutrition. Add on a few pounds of muscle tissue, get leaner, get dry, get more vascular, and then introduce this into the latter half slash third of the stack. And get another 1 or 2 pounds of lean muscle tissue, drop another half a pound, pound or two again of body fat, get that little bit lean, a little bit more vascular, manipulate the variables on the diet again, Steve, whether that's up for muscle tissue or down in terms of body fat loss and so on and so forth. So I think that's actually something we should almost underline and emphasize that particular point there, Steve, that getting the extra little bit out of a cycle by having the Winstrol nowhere near the beginning, almost not in the middle, but mostly towards the end of the stack, like you suggest. Back to you.
Yeah, and it's not just bodybuilders who use Winstrol. You know what's amazing is almost every bodybuilding cycle from competitors that I've seen, they include Winstrol, either Winstrol or Masteron, which are both
Oh,
DHT derivatives.
yeah.
But I mean, I would say unless you are really sensitive to the side effects of Winstrol, I would say that like close to 100% of bodybuilders are using Winstrol, who are competing and or
Yes.
professionals. So it's very, very important. But let me tell you something. I went on the list. You guys can check this out too. You go on Wikipedia and look up Winstrol doping. Just you can Google that. But I was looking at a list on the pre-show of the amount of athletes who've been busted for using Winstrol, and it's a long list. I mean, I'm talking 30 or 40 well-known athletes around the world in all kinds of sports, from baseball to UFC, from shot put, from rugby, which, you know, as an American, I have no fucking clue even what rugby is. They just run around. I guess it's like American football.
It's American football stick, but without the pads.
Yeah, you got I'm looking at this.
I shouldn't say that, Steve. I live in Wales. I'm probably going to get slaughtered for it.
Well, the Australian guys hate you enough. Enough on the forums anyway. So we're talking tennis players. We're talking bowlers even are using Winstrol. Swimmers. I mean, it's a long list of people. This is just people who've been busted, not counting the people.
Yeah.
And we know that in wrestling and UFC, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, they're morons who run those organizations. They don't really test people. So you got to be a complete idiot to even fail a doping test in some of those sports. So you can imagine.
Let me touch on that, Steve, right? I mentioned earlier on certain athletes that need to be make weight and weight divisions, MMA fighters, etc. Quite often lightweight, heavyweight, middleweight, and so on and so forth, right? And there are weight limits, and you want a high power to weight ratio. So you want to be as strong and as muscular as you possibly can, a functional athlete, but you need to be 1 or 2 pounds underneath the limit for your division. So I can see this is the reason why people look at PEDs to do that. But the issue here is quite simple. And I've described this multiple times on the forums. We will have, on occasion, people that come onto the forum, and I think we're talking about low-level pros here, Steve, and not necessarily UFC, but they'll say something like, either I'm a competing UFC / MMA type athlete, or I'm a professional, which means they're probably getting a couple of $100 a week. Nevertheless, they're getting paid to fight. The problem that they misunderstand, and this applies to all of those athletes that Steve referred to just now, is that the most federations have WADA, WADA level testing, which is essentially the same as the IOC type stuff. In other words, it's really fucking good, Steve. And as Steve quite properly suggest, and I'd actually agree with this 100%, Steve, I'd suspect there's an element of, if you fall out of favor, if you start performing badly, if you make an idiot of yourself in the octagon, if you really piss off the bosses, and so on and so forth, the federations and the athletes and whatever else, if you do something in the cage you absolutely shouldn't have done, I guarantee that they're going to fucking test you. And lo and behold, the blind eye that was being turned while you were making everybody money and kissing ass and fighting well suddenly gets fucking turned back to you and says, nope, and boom, they foul. And I've mentioned this on other shows, when people have been tested, they're looking at B samples, because there's nearly always something called an A sample and a B sample. And for whatever reason, and especially if the test is improved, and again, you've fallen out of favor, that B sample comes out of the fridge, freezer, wherever it's been kept, and is retested. And we've talked about this on the show when we actually discussed an MMA athlete, and not just him, but others were being found guilty by their test was positive for various PEDs 2 years after the sample had been taken. So they'd been doing incredibly well, made everybody loads of money, made themselves some money, and then they started doing shit with it. Lo and behold, when it was tested, the pee's tested, your blood's tested, and boom, you're banned. Boom, you are fined. Boom, you are put out. And you have to go off and do something else for a year or two and make your name and come back and be retested again. And this, the problem for the lower level guys is they can get away with it a little bit. Low level pros, you haven't quite made your name yet, etc. But what we try to, we emphasize the particular point is that you need, at the very least, regardless of the risk, etc., to be aware that there's a very good chance you're going to be caught. Quite simply, there's an argument to be made also, Steve, as you'll appreciate, when we talk about these things, and we mentioned the chemical warfare stuff, specific higher-end athletes can afford to employ doctors, chemists, etc., that will do their utmost to try to get around the testing. That's the case. That's state-sponsored sometimes, Steve, as you well know. But Winstrol is one that people, many, many, many people have been caught for, quite properly, as Steve said already. Back to you, Steve.
So let's get into how to dose and stack it. So Parapharma, they have two oral types of Winstrol. which are 10 milligram per pill option and 50 milligram per pill option. They also have an injectable drinkable version we talked about earlier. So this provides the flexibility for those of you who want to, change the dose during the cycle for whatever reason. And with Winstrol, look, it's got a short enough half-life where you can be flexible. I think people out there are hypocrites when it comes to the way they approach steroid use and the way they use steroids, because you've got the same people who think that you can run a long ester injectable for like 4 or 5 weeks, right? And those are the same people who will tell someone that they can't change their dose of a oral steroid like Winstrol, for example, that has a short half-life. And they'll tell them, oh, you can't change your dose. Why not? If you're running 50 milligrams of Winstrol and the side effects are bothering you, which we're going to get into the side effects shortly, what's wrong with dropping the dose at 25 milligrams? Like, that's a nice thing about, that's the whole point of using something like Winstrol, so you can be flexible. Or if you're using 25 milligrams and you're like, I'm getting good drying ahead of my beach vacation, my abs are starting to pop out and show, the water is getting flushed out, or I have a competition coming up and I want to push things a little more, I've got 2 weeks left, what's wrong with raising the dose to 50 or 75 or 60 milligrams? I mean, this is the idea, and this is what makes Winstrol so good, is the flexibility aspect where you can, and you can drop it entirely. Look, if it's not your cup of tea, let's say someone like Mobster who lives heavy, you can go check out Mobster's log on the forum and see his type of training. I mean, he was doing like skull crusher. How much skull crusher were you doing, Mobster? Like 220 pounds?
This week was 220
So
pounds.
you're lifting a large male.
On my
With your forearms pretty much.
elbows.
So someone like Mobster, let's say he got on Winstrol, his buddy gave him some Winstrol, say, hey, check this stuff out, works really good. Someone like Mobster starts using Winstrol and he's trying to do his skull crushers, like, man,
Oh,
it
man, can you
feels like
imagine?
I'm like a rubber band is around my elbows, like keep it, that's what it feels like when you're on Winstrol. It feels like a rubber band is forcing your joints to stay closed, you know what I'm saying?
It
Like,
was
so
so
we,
uncomfortable, Steve.
yeah. So I mean, what's wrong with just stopping it? And that's the flexibility of Winstrol. That's why Winstrol is a really, really good. That's one of the advantages of using Winstrol. It's not a disadvantage. So the hypocrisy that's out there, and let's be honest, Mobster, it's mostly the older crowd that thinks like that because they're
Let me
stuck in
jump
their
in. Let me
ways.
jump in, Steve. I want to jump in for a second because I've actually been, and Steve knows this. I feel triggered, Steve. I feel triggered. I've been guilty. I've gone online, early days of using PEDs, done my research, looked for what was going to work for what I was, my target was, as per usual strength, and said, right, so this is what I'm supposed to do. I've looked for what the optimal dose was, and I've gone in that particular way. And then we did a show probably 6 months ago where we were having this back and forth. And Steve brought me over. He said, look, why would you, assuming we were talking about me, but we were actually talking about listeners like yourselves, why would you stick to something that's not working just because that was your grand plan? You wouldn't. Why would you do something that would make your blood pressure grow through the roof because your specific and individual response was so goddamn awful in terms of side effects? Why would you? Why would you punish yourself in that particular way? I mean, I understood a little bit when my focus back in the day, Steve, was my desire to kick ass and take names and get my hand on the gold medal, not the silver or the bronze, was so great. I think my focus was so specific at that particular regard. Like, I'm just fucking to do this shit. It doesn't matter what, so long as I'm fucking successful. But the reality of that situation, as said already, very few of our listeners compete. And even if you did compete, you don't have to do the thing that's fucking you up. If your joints, your tendons, etc., were so goddamn dry that you thought you was going to hurt yourself. And I'm actually thinking of Dorian Yates in that particular regards. One of the things I think he said was his regret about training to the point of injury. And if, look, what could I have done with my physique? This is the early days of his retirement. Doesn't seem to bother him now, but certainly shortly afterwards, what mistakes do you think you made? There's zero need to stay in a specific place if it's causing you problems in terms of the side effects and issues that you might be having with PEDs. And it might be as simple as lowering the dose. It might be as simple as upping the dose. The other thing I was going to say, Steve, well, is an advantage, but it's again for the more experienced, this is arguably some of those older guys, is that we tend to have done enough cycles, and not necessarily every single PD, but enough PDs that we have a very good idea of what a response will be. However, and it's another one reason why you might want to manipulate the variables, including dosage and so on and so forth, and that is quite simply the condition you might have been in 5 years ago, you might have been as lean as fuck. Now you're here 5 years later with injuries, carrying a little bit more body fat, and the dosage that worked for you 5 years ago that made you look amazing will not work now. It's not only because you've used PDs before, so they won't be as effective as it was the first time, but you're not in the same condition. You're not living the same best life. 5 years ago, you might have been single and had to focus unbelievably on training. Now you're married with kids. You've got other shit going on. You've got a day job. You were still at college 5 years ago. Whatever. So variables change. It isn't just simply you've got to stay on plan. So yes, Steve definitely changed my mind in that. Don't have to stick to the game plan because that was what was decided 6 weeks before the cycle started. No. Why should you? You don't have to. I do like you to have some structure. I do like you to have done your research, but you do not have to stay on X, Y, and Z just because. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah. It's like going into a cycle with a blueprint is great, but also like adjusting things. I've talked to pros over the years on this, and a good coach, you know, a good bodybuilding coach knows this. A good bodybuilding coach, if things are not going the way you want, they'll have their client, you know, switch things up, you know, and that's if things aren't looking the right way. And that's a nice thing about Winstrol. That's one of the thing reasons, Mobster, why Winstrol is so damn popular with professional bodybuilders. Yes. So that's the thing. So let's kind of switch it a little bit on this topic. Let's go back to normal Joe, because most of you are normal Joes. Most of you will never even compete. All right. And you know, how would a normal Joe use Winstrol? Well, like we said, let's say you have a vacation coming up, or you have a wedding or a beach vacation or something. You want to look good with no shirt on. Okay. This is where Winstrol comes into play. Now, how would you use Winstrol? Now, if you want to use it solo, you can go 50 milligrams a day for 4 to 6 weeks. All right. You get good results on that. You're going to dry out. You're going to have some benefits. Go into the gym, high repetition, high volume, high intensity training. You'll enjoy the pumps, which is, you know, in some ways not a good thing, but the you'll get, you know, in if you, you know, if they're bothering your training, the pumps could bite you in the ass. But in this case, let's stick to the positives, where the pumps are awesome. The pumps will cause the vascularity, your veins will be popping out of your biceps, out of your calves. You're gonna love the effects. You see these guys online, like these professional bodybuilders, like their veins are all popping out. Why do you think that's happening? You know, all the things they're doing, the low body fat, the genetics and all that other stuff, the anabolic steroid abuse, you know, the it's really the high red blood cell count, all that, but also because of the Winstrol. The Winstrol is drawing their, it's like a diuretic effect, where it dries you out so much. It's like taking a wet sponge and squeezing the sponge and all that water comes out. And then you let go of the sponge and poof, it puffs back out. It's the same thing. You're seeing those striations of the muscles and those cuts of the muscle. And you're seeing the vascularity pump, popping out.
So Steve, just as a tip for those of you that might decide to compete, I would prefer that you do this, obviously in combination with diet, cardio, and so on and so forth, than the arguably higher risk for drying out that might be associated with diuretics. Obviously, that's an option if you're a professional bodybuilder, but my preference would be for something like Winstrol over diuretics, Steve.
Yeah, definitely. And the other benefits, obviously, this is what they use it for. Instead of using a diuretic, pro bodybuilders will use Winstrol instead. You know, and that's a smarter choice, because diuretics are obviously very, very dangerous. I mean, they can dehydrate you, basically kill you. But when it comes to normal Joe, you're not, you know, you use it solo, or one of the more popular ways that people use Winstrol, they can stack it with an injectable, Equipoise, Primobol. So Parapharma has excellent Equipoise. They have excellent Primobol. And then Parapharma testosterone is also a popular option. And you can run any of those injectables anywhere from 100 milligrams a week up to 500 milligrams a week, just depending on, you know, your goals, your experiences, and stuff like that. So those are really, really good options just for normal Joes. Now, in terms of stacking an oral with Winstrol, I don't really see the point in doing that. I'll let you, Mobster, give your opinion on that. But I don't see the point of doing that because Winstrol itself is such a powerful oral, and you're already getting that short half-life and stuff. So for me, from where I'm sitting, it makes no sense to stack an Anavar with it or a T-Bowl with it. You might as well just increase the Winstrol dose, you know? So I don't really see a point of that. What do you think, Mobster?
I was only thinking in terms of the cardiovascular condition, so maybe Tebow in that scenario. We had a thread just this week where someone was talking about the fact that they'd taken up some sort of cage fighting, and I was having a bit of back and forth with them. But there's an argument to be made in terms of conditioning there, and I don't think necessarily that Winstrol's perfect in that scenario, and yet it is used by athletes that do a lot of conditioning work. So there's a little bit there. The only other one I thought of, Steve, was Masteron, which we actually mentioned at the beginning. So, and the reason for this is thus, right? Now, again, for the average Joe, I wouldn't probably suggest it. Someone that just wants to get ready for a beach party or whatever else, no. But if you want that kind of super kind of granular aesthetic and vascular type physique, that is probably the best indicator of a person being stage ready. And again, this might apply more to a competing person rather than the average Joe. Then that combination would give you the granular hardness that I believe Masteron, when you're in super condition, would be. And then that layer of veins and vascularity on top is, I mean, it's very, very rare, Steve. I can think of maybe two or three amateur and or competing bodybuilders that have ever got down to that, oh my God, I can see every striation and there's a layer of veins going over the top. That is very, very rare indeed. But even to get somewhere close to that, maybe. And again, you're not necessarily looking at high doses for either of these, Steve. I can see, for example, the Masteron being run, either the enanthate or the propionate version, not that high at all. Again, Steve and I are a low dose kind of guy. So average Joe, 200-300 milligrams a week, purely simply because of the combined things that you're doing. Obviously, and we haven't emphasized this for a couple of shows, Steve, the diet and the cardio, the condition is important. I think it might be also a point to be made, and this is again for the cage fighters, etc., and other athletes. It doesn't, even with the potential perhaps for the dry and joints, it doesn't seem to have a massive impact as is on their conditioning, because they're still able to perform and do the things that they were doing before, the specific things that they were training for when they introduced the Winstrol. Other drugs, as we know, Steve, can fuck you up when it comes to your conditioning. So the Anavar, which I like, would be a horrendous for conditioning type athletes, the ones that needed conditioning just for the pumps and so on and so forth. There's an argument, as Steve said earlier on, in terms of the vascularity and stuff. I mean, look at photographs of athletes outside of bodybuilding from 10, 15, 20 years ago and compare them to now, and nearly everybody's leaner and more vascular. So that 100% suggests they're doing stuff that they wasn't doing before, Steve. So yeah, what about the side effects, as you were touching upon earlier on? Oh, I mean, the obvious one, and we've expanded on this somewhat earlier, is quite simply, and it really applies when you are lean. I don't think it applies so much if you was using Winstrol and you was over 10, 15, 20% body fat. But when you do get lean, you have those other issues. But the number one issue, really, in my mind, Steve, and that people want to watch out for, is that dryness. Very few of you will compete. And the few of you who compete will tell those that do not just how it's not really a healthy place to be when you're at the super top level. And a chemical warfare argument for professional bodybuilders is the same. I think Steve's referred to on other shows where he says they don't even want to look at their bloods. They won't show you just how goddamn, you know, literally, for example, hot day, hot venue, underneath the lights, freezing cold. Why? Because their skin's so thin because they've got no body fat. Their lipids are horrendous. Well, they sort of half close an eye against it. And Doreen Yates describing, as I alluded to earlier on, that the pad of fat between the bones and meat in his feet and the skin, the sole of the foot, would become so thin, so lacking in fat, that it was physically uncomfortable to walk around. Now, you can imagine someone like myself as a strength athlete, as Steve's talked about, doing certain particular heavy weights and feeling like I'm bone on bone around my joints. That might be, as I said earlier, a great indication of condition if you're competing, getting in shape, but it is not comfortable thing to have or experience. Anything else on that particular one, Steve, in terms of other potential side effects that you would associate with PEDs, but specifically with Mistral?
Yeah, and one I kind of touched on it earlier, but I wanted to just talk about a little bit is the pumps. Now, Winnie pumps are something that, you know, I actually, when we're doing the pre-show, I forgot to even mention it to Mobster when I sent him, you know, the pre-show write-up. But I want to talk about it a little bit because I've experienced this. And one of the things you'll notice if you like to do a lot of cardio, the pumps are absolutely brutal on Winstrol. They're brutal on other some other steroids too.
Yeah,
there's Tren pumps, there's Diebold pumps, there's Anavar pumps. The last episode we did on Anavar, we also talked about the pumps. But the Winstrol pumps are very unique. They're very they may be even the worst of all of them. And you know, it's not a bad thing to have pumps. It could be advantageous, like I said earlier, the vascularity effects of going to the gym, getting a pump. You walk out of the gym with a cutoff sleeve, you go to the grocery store and you've got your, you know, your arms popping out and your veins popping out of your arms, and you're walking around feeling you're like you're the shit because you do that, Mobster, right? You used to do that when you were younger. That's how you would pick up women.
There's always that the old one, Steve, the skinny guys will always have the abs there, and the muscular guys will always wear a tight t-shirt.
They'll have one of those cutoffs, like, you know, up above your navels, those cutoff shirts. So, like, with the pumps,
even now, if I'm wearing a t-shirt, I'm in the supermarket and I'm pushing my shopping trolley, I'm like, see the triceps.
Well, yeah,
big arms popping on the fucking trolley handle. Yeah,
here comes with pumps. Like, so you can look at pumps as a good thing, like we talked about earlier, you can look at it as a side effect. So,
let me talk about something else, Steve. I mean, something we should really talk about, two things actually. One is hair loss. Hair loss right now. And again, I'm a guy that shaves my head. I've literally got a skull shaver type fucking device brought off of eBay, and I shaved that picture. There's like barely any there. And I've never been that fussed on it. However, and I've had some back and forth with some of our members on the forums over this. There are a few of you, and I've had to point out, and Steve's done this as well, we've actually done shows where we've talked about hair loss specific to steroids and so on and so forth. Right, so a lot of you, a good percentage of our listeners, will associate their attractiveness and how they feel about being out in the world and so on and so forth with their hairline. And this is the reason why there's hair clinics and so on and so forth. Equally, if you move away from that kind of stuff, so you get into things like you're on Winstrol and you're in the shower and you notice more hair going into the plug hole. You are grooming, you're combing your hair, you're brushing your hair, and you're noticing more hair on the brush. Now, it's perfectly normal to lose anywhere between 100 to 200 hairs a day. You have tens of thousands of hair on your head. But when you start to see more, when you start to see the longer ones coming out, it can freak some people out. And as unfortunately, the side effect on Winstrol, those that are sensitive to hair loss, and that would be include male pattern baldness, et cetera, especially if it's in your family, mother, father, uncle, auntie, whatever. It makes no difference, men or women, if it's in the family genetics to have hair loss, and especially if pre-30, pre-40 years of age, and so on and so forth, Winstrol can fuck you up. Let's be clear about it. I think something else, Steve, there's an argument to be made, and we've talked about the whole business of DHT, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll read this specifically. Do not be fooled by what you might read online. Winstrol does cause androgenic side effects, like, for example, and it's actually probably the reasons for those pumps, the elevated blood pressure, Steve, prostate strain, and arguably any steroid that forces a reaction and you can feel it working, etc., might lead to a small increase in the sensation of aggression. So that's super, super important. I'll cite Steve here specifically, saying that just because it doesn't aerobatize and it's a DHT steroid, it won't cause side effects. It does. And you need to know that. And again, the only problem you might have if you are using it as part of a stack is not being too sure what steroid is causing the side effect. But this is, again, the reason why you're listening to the show and doing your research. That's the reason why you'll know if you run it solo what might happen, Steve.
Yeah, we're not, you know, the thing is, like, we're not promoting Winstrol. We're giving you the information on Winstrol. So I'm going to tell you something, like, some of these old steroid charts crack me up because they'll have Winstrol not as a high side effect steroid. Now, why would that be? Because back when those charts were come up with some, person back then, a self-proclaimed guru back in the 80s
Yeah,
came up with a steroid
I've
chart.
seen them. Yeah, I've seen these.
And what's funny is they don't think Winstrol has a lot of side effects. Why is that? Why would they even assume that? Because it doesn't aromatize into estrogen, so it doesn't have estrogenic properties to it. So they have Diebold having more side effects than Winstrol, and that's just not true. Winstrol has a shit ton. We just listed a bunch of side effects
Oh,
that Winstrol has. Some of them Diebold won't, some of them Diebold has, but to a lesser extent. But also some of them that Winstrol has that Diebold won't have. And part of it is the DHT side effects that we went through, the hair loss effects. I'm not even prone to hair loss. I still have my hair. I'm in my mid 40s. I still have my hair. But even with me, when I took Winstrol, I'd shampoo my hair in the shower and I looked down and my hands would be covered with hair. So that freaked the shit out of me. I was like, wow, this is nuts. So it's one of those things. Now, how do we help when it comes to hair loss? There's hair loss shampoos that you can try. I wouldn't get too aggressive and use things like finasteride, and here's why. Because finasteride helps block the conversion of DHT, right? From, testosterone to DHT conversion. Since Winstrol is a DHT derivative, using the finasteride won't be very effective. It'll have some effects because it's still going to prevent the conversion of testosterone to DHT, but it's not going to directly help in that because Winstrol is a DHT derivative. So does that make sense? So you're going to get a lot of side effects from the finasteride that you don't
Yeah,
want, and it's going to have
worse.
minimal benefits. So I wouldn't go down that route. I would look into some of these natural. Make sure you download the Yuka app, Yuka, and you can scan some of these products. Make sure they're humane friendly products. There's no animal testing. Make sure they're free of chemicals. Because last thing you want is put chemicals in your hair.
Yeah,
That's and we don't and we
for
don't want
the
to support companies that abuse animals either. So we want to make sure. So make sure you download that Yuka app and you scan these products. Go to a health food store. There are some shampoo products that really help strengthen the scalp and strengthen the hair. One more thing, Mosby, before I let you jump in. When it comes to the pumps, taurine. And a good support supplement will have both taurine and liver support in it. So you can come on the forum and we'll lead you the right direction for a good support supplement that will help with both pumps and your liver at the same time. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the joint thing of Steve, such as it is, hydration, 100%. You'll be being more hydrated than normal, especially on a steroid cycle, is always going to be useful. I would definitely look at a joint product containing stuff like glucosamine at the proper dosages, chondroitin, and so on and so forth. There are products that we discuss on the forums that you could look at. And I would also, even if you are on a restricted diet and you are trying to lose weight, certainly get leaner and so on and so forth, we still would want you to have a percentage of fat in your diet. It might be lower than normal, and it's certainly because your food will be a lot healthier. But look at, for example, some of the nuts and specifically fish and or krill oil at the right dosages again. And some of the joint products have some sort of oil type products that are associated as well. So you're probably looking for two different products here, an actual joint product and then something like krill oil or fish oil. Not just for the lipid benefits, but in this particular case, it's like the old-fashioned cod liver oil, Steve, and so on and so forth, in terms of trying to boost as much as you possibly can the healthy fats in your diet, but also specifically here for the lubrication, for the oiling of the joints. And there also is an argument to be made on both of those two examples, specifically the oils, actually, for a mild anti-inflammatory effect. And again, don't forget, of course, steroids are inflammatory, as is training, and are certain foods. Why make it worse than you need to be? And you certainly don't want to be. And this is another mistake I believe that Dorian Yates talks about, Steve, where one of the issues he ended up with was coughing up blood or something like that, and it was a reason he'd had issues with his joints and was using way too much for an incredibly long period of time, months at a time, I believe, of an anti-inflammatory to the point where he ended up as a bleeding stomach. So that's definitely a thing. Again, this is just tips, guys. So healthy oils, from nuts, from fish, from krill oil, and specifically a joint product. Again, you're going to be killing it in the gym, guys. You're going to be killing it at the dinner table, and you want to get in amazing shape. You're using sensible doses of Winstrol, and so a little bit of healthy oil and looking after your joints makes a lot of sense. Something I will say, this is more specific to myself, but it might be something useful, and I've seen bodybuilders do this, especially when they're at a part of a training cycle where they are lifting heavy weights. Purchase yourself even what I might describe to you as light elbow and or knee sleeves. That's just to protect your joints and keep them warm. And again, as you're drying out and you're getting into condition, the risk of injury is actually a little bit higher, and we want to avoid that. We want you to get into amazing shape. Let's talk a little bit now, Steve, if we've got time, about Parapharma. Are we ready?
Yes, sir. Why don't you touch on, let me touch on Parapharma a little bit, and then I'll let you kind of jump in as well, Mobster, okay, as we finish out the show. So let me give my thoughts on Parapharma. So Parapharma, they've been around for over 12 years now. I think over 13 years.
13 years, yeah. Yeah.
And they've built a very strong customer base. I haven't seen a brand grow this fast just in the past couple of years, but they have. And they've done a really good job of making their customers happy. And I like to see that. I was, whenever I'm going to purchase a product, you know, whether it be a car, whether it be a vacuum, whether it be anything, a computer, I always go and look at reviews. I always go, and one of the things I want to see as me as a consumer is I not only want a great product, I want to make sure after I purchase the product that I can go back to them if there's a problem. And they'll be professional with me. They'll have some sort of common sense and make me a happy customer. Like if I buy a computer, for example, and I get the computer delivered, I'm using the computer for a few days, and look, and something's wrong with the computer I'm not happy with. I felt like I was misled. There was something, it wasn't enough RAM or something was going on. The computer's not running the way I think. I want to be able to reach out to them and have them take care of the situation for me. I don't want to reach out to them and they be like, well, you know, tough shit. You bought it, now it's yours. Also, when they're shipping the product to me, if the product, you know, is damaged, or if they're shipping it, if they're shipping out to me, I don't want to wait 6 weeks to get my product. I want to get it in a reasonable amount of time. I want to, and if they are going to take a long time, I want them to be vocal with me and tell me this stuff. So these are things as consumers that we've come to expect in 2024, you know, and we've been spoiled. You know, Amazon has spoiled us when it comes to stuff. But Parapharma, they have you covered. They ship their products out quickly. Their prices are fair. Their customer service is on top of things. If there's a problem, something arises that the customer isn't satisfied or something, they'll do what they can to make the customer happy. And look, the customer reviews speak for themselves. I mean, I haven't seen a single negative review on Parapharma. Everybody is very happy with their products. Everyone is satisfied. And the nice thing about it too, what I like, is they have promotions. They have certain promotions on their products as well. So you can save some money on top of the fair prices that they have. And the more you buy, the more you save. So if you buy in bulk, you save money. So these are little things that they do that really are nice. And that, those are things that I respect. And they are, being sold at some of the best reseller sources out there, which tells me that there's a demand for them among not just the normal guys out there, but also the professional bodybuilders. Because professional bodybuilders are pounding the table. We want Parapharma. We want to use Parapharma. So then the resellers get note of that, and they obviously start selling them as well. So they're excellent for that. I'll let Mobster touch on that, and I'll let Mobster touch on also the anonymous testing that's been done on Parapharma.
I've run a cycle. I've talked about this on previous Parapharma shows, Steve. I specifically ran a cut cycle using one of their products, Cut 150, late last year, October, November last year. I think I did a cut cycle and I went straight into a bulk cycle with another company. And I had amazing success. I actually talked about, and I've mentioned this on multiple shows now, my belt size went down 2 notches, and still to date, and we're talking about what now, six, 7 months later, still down 2 notches, still tighter than it was prior to that cycle. I went from, I think it was 327.5 pounds down to 320. And then ironically, with the reduced waist, I had the recomposition because the cut product contains a small amount of tren, which is an amazing recomposition PED, and went back up to 327, but leaner and with that smaller waist. So for me, and I joked at the end, it was a great success with the older LEG character as a meme at the end of my log. So it's showing that, you know, I was very, very happy with how it had all turned out. So I've specifically used their product. I think the other thing is that we talk about this when we talk about approved source, but specifically Parapharma today, what we're looking for. So there was two things, right? One is product testing. And that's in-house, where you take it off the shelf at the lab where it's been manufactured. And I say in-house, it's then typically taken out of that environment and sent off to a local testing laboratory, but it's by the company, like Parapharma themselves. And they post those certificates for you to look at. You can go and check the dates on them. You could ask for updates. You can contact the company or talk to the resellers for that. The other thing that Steve's just referred to, which is super important, and I like to see this on any approved source that we talk about when it comes to the testing, certificates of analysis, test results, and so on and so forth, is the independent testing, specifically the independent testing that Steve just alluded to. So quite simply, this has happened a couple of times, but the most recent time was a member of the forum at their own expense selected 10 different products from a bunch of approved sources, which include Parapharma, sent them off to an independent lab, had them all tested, and every single product, including Parapharma, came back more or less as is, Steve. So we were super, super happy with that kind of stuff. It's why we regard Parapharma so highly, and we like to see this again and again and again. And again, as Steve said, we've got a couple of big name resellers that we approve on our forums that both sell Parapharma, and one or two of the biggest in the industry. And that's how high Parapharma is regarded. And again, come onto the forums and check out logs of people running Parapharma products, not just what Steve and I are saying on these shows, but come and check for yourself. See other independent members of the forums that are running products like that, and Parapharma specifically, and see what they're saying about the success they're getting with their cycles. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast are for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.